Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another opportunity to come and share with you the precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. And I count it a great pleasure and my honor to have this opportunity once more. Praise God to encourage the saints of God, hopefully, and praise God also to act as God's recruiting agent to bring more into the family of God. Praise God, He has called me to call you to salvation. Each and every man, soul, body, and call you to salvation, but the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. I only have the opportunity to call you, but the Lord, He has to choose you. That's in His department there. But I'm Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God, and I'm coming to you, praise God, to on this, what is Friday, May 21st, I believe it is. Praise God, and I thank God that I do have a word from the Lord, just for you today. If you're tuned in to this broadcast, it's because the Spirit of the Lord has led you here, and God has brought you here to hear what thus saith the Lord. So I encourage you to look with me. We're looking at Matthew's Gospel today. Matthew's Gospel, praise God, get your Bibles out, and kind of turn with me, Matthew. We're going to look at that fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. And also, we're going to look at a couple verses in the book of Philippians, Paul. Letter to the Philippians, second chapter. But first of all, Matthew 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Matthew 4 and verse 18. We'll begin there. Praise God. It says here that, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it said, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father. And they were mending their nets, he says, and he called them to follow him also. And they immediately left their ship. Praise God, and their father, he says, and they followed him. So now we want to look at also the book of Philippians. Turn that with me. Look at that book of Philippians also. Praise God, and Paul going to add to these words that the Lord has put upon my heart to share with you today. Philippians 2, and we're going to look at verse number 14 and 15, just two verses. Paul says to the saint, do all things here. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that you may be blameless, he says, and harmless, the son of God, without rebuke, praise God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights, he says here, in the world. Father, we bless you today. Thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity, Lord, to share your word, praise God, with your people today. I pray, Father God, the power of God, the anointing might be upon the speaker here today, as well as those who are listening. I pray that, Lord, your word might, Father God, strengthen, teach, and even convict those that are in need of conviction today. All I say, Lord, have your way. Use it for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, Jesus in Matthew's gospel there, there's a key word he uses over and over again that he encouraged those who he's called. And he said, follow me. And then Paul down here in his letter to the Philippians, praise God, he says here that, praise God, that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be Christian in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation. So I want to use these for as a thought for the day. Following Christ. We're following Christ in a crooked and perverse nation. And praise God, I think that most believers know that the Word of God is not accepted today as it has been in the past. There's much opposition against the Word of God today. Praise God, but that's no reason for us to cow down and back off. We're going to preach and teach this Word anyhow. But now these two words that Christ uses over and over again here in Matthew's gospel here, follow me. That's what he said, follow me. And these were spoken to Peter and Andrew. Praise God. And then to James and John by the Lord himself. Praise God. As they were fishing in that Sea of Galilee with their fathers. But later on now, the Lord went on and he said the same words to Matthew, that old tax collector there. Praise God. He found him at a table there. Now, he's a shyster. There's no doubt about that. But now, one thing about it, he was on the roll. He was foreordained from the foundation of the world to be a part of the family of God. So now the Lord called Matthew to follow him. And the Bible said he left everything. He left everything. Praise God, his job. And he began to follow the Lord. Now, what I notice about the Lord, praise God, in his choosing of his disciples down through the word of God there, you know, he mostly chose men that were occupied, preoccupied, or men that were gainfully employed, working men. Praise God, these are working men. Matthew was working. He was, you know, doing a little dog work there. But now he was still busy, though. He was busy. The Lord liked to use people that are working people, have a heart and a mind to work for the Lord. Praise God. That's what I gather from watching him choose most of his disciples. They were rugged and working men. But now later on, he would say to all of his disciples in that John 10:27 there, John 10:27, I believe it is, my sheep hear my voice. This is what Christ said. And they follow me. My sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me. Now, on another occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, to be followers of me, you must learn of me. In other words, you're called to learn of me and to be doers of my word. We have to be willing to be taught of the Lord. The Bible actually said that actually when you get saved, you really don't have any need of any man to teach you because the Spirit of God will teach us, and he does teach us. The fact is, many of us are starting out in the Lord, we're a little bit lazy, lackadaisia, and therefore we need teachers and preachers. But now God will teach you too. Praise God. But so in order to be a follower of Christ, he said, you must learn of me and be doers of my word. Now, that's what the Lord says here. Now, the Greek word for follow, the Greek word for follow is to mimic or to imitate. Praise God. And Paul uses this word often as he taught, praise God, his disciples to follow the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said to the believers there, be ye followers of me. And then another place there, 1 Corinthians 11:1, most of us are familiar with that. He said, basically, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's good. That's good instruction. Leadership, good leadership. Praise God. Follow me as I follow Christ. And then in Ephesians 5:1, the apostle Paul said, be ye followers of God. So now, he uses the same words here that Christ used when he was on the earth as he called his disciples. He said, follow me. So Paul said, y'all follow me as I follow Christ. And again, this word follow means to imitate and to mimic, to imitate, to mimic. Now, 1 Peter 3:13, Paul says there, and who is he that would harm you? Who is he that would harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If you follow that which is good, who's going to be able to harm you? Praise God, if we're followers of Christ there. And 3 John 11, the Apostle John said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, praise God, but follow that which is good. Praise God. See, we're not called. We are not called to follow the mindset of the world today. And I think that's where a lot of Christians or so-called Christians have made a great mistake. But God called us to follow him, not just to hear his word, praise God, or even, praise God, to read his word, to memorize his word. That's not enough, praise God. But we got to follow Christ in what Paul calls this crooked and perverse nation, a world or generation that we're living in today. We have opposition, but that cannot hinder us. Praise God, we are on a mission, even though we are in the minority. Praise God, but yet we have God on our side, and actually that puts us in the majority. Amen? Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. But now, we're not called to follow the world. Now, in Titus, the second chapter, Titus 2, if you would look there, Titus 2, or jot it down, Titus 2, and look at verses 1, and I'm looking at 1 and down through 8, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm not going to read all that. But now, Paul pleads with Titus about the importance of living the truth. And praise God, I tell people all the time, it ain't enough to just to know the word of God. You got to live the word of God. Praise God. We're mannequins in the windows of the world. God has put us on exhibition, and we are expected to live it out. Amen. Not just teach the truth, but live the truth. Praise God. And even not just studying the word of God, but we have to set an example of what a follower of Christ should look like. We're called to set examples. Amen. That's God's calling for us. But now, in this Titus now, in the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, the second chapter, I'm going to summarize 1 through 6. Down through 1 through 6 there, Paul is instructing the older men, and also he's instructing the older women, and also he's instructing the young men on living, praise God, living the Christian life. In those first 6 verses. But now, in that verse 7 of Titus 2, that verse 7, he turns back to Titus because he's the teacher here. And it's important that leadership set a good example. Teachers, leaders, preachers, bishops, you got to set the good example if we want the Holy Spirit, praise God, to do his part as far as bringing people to the knowledge of the Lord. Now, verse 7, Paul says to Titus again, he says, in all things, show thyself. And what is that? In all things, Titus, I want you to show yourself to be a pattern, he says, a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. In all things, praise God. See, many of our Christians are, and I use this term very loosely, many of our so-called Christians today, they have the audacity to divide their lives into, you know, some say, well, I got a private life. I'm a Christian, but I got a private life. Some say I got a public life. And then some that maybe, you know, in businesses like that, and they say the Christians, they got a business life. And they tend to keep that Christianity all boxed up in that, praise God, that private life. They won't, like it's supposed to stay in private. There's no place for it unless it's in private, you know. That seems to be what they're trying to say more or less there. Praise God. But now, Paul said, in all things, not some things here. He said, but in all things, praise God, we are to show ourselves. Amen. We can't, cause some people, you know, if you, like I have a habit of saying, praise the Lord. And some people say, well, you know, why you talk like that? Today ain't Sunday. You know, that's what some people say. Today ain't Sunday. Well, praise God. Do the day have to be Sunday? Do the day have to be Sunday for me to praise the Lord? Praise God. At all things, at all times, in every situation. Praise God. It's in order to give God praise and give God glory and give God honor. Praise God. Not just on certain times. Praise God. But that's what we're doing today. We have some people, praise God, they think that we are to keep God's praises and worship in the building now. In the building. But praise God, we praise God all the time. We don't need no certain time to praise God. Every aspect of our lives must be motivated. Every aspect of our lives must be motivated, praise God, by the life and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, showing thyself in all things, he says, Titus here, I want you to show yourself as believers now. Praise God. Show thyself. Praise God. We cannot teach and preach one thing and then live another thing. We can't do that, brother. See, and many people in this crooked and perverse world that we live in today, they're trying to do this every day. Praise God. There's an old saying that goes something like this. I would rather see a sermon than to hear a sermon any day. You ever heard that before? You know, when I was in high school, I never forget, we had a teacher and the girls, you know, would tell us that in the ladies, in the girls' restroom, that they would sometime go in. This teacher was in there, and she would be in her going down in her big old pocketbook there, and she pulled out a little ball there, and she would drink something out of there. So, you know, they come to find out she was drinking. She was kind of drinking a little bit on the job, you know. And, they told everybody, and praise God, he got back to the teacher that everybody knew that, you know, she was kind of, you know, hitting the ball every now and then. And we joked about it. And she found out, when she found out about it, she wouldn't directly address it. But even when she was teaching, she would always come in with this saying, "Do as I say, but not as I do." She would throw that in every now and then. Do as I say, but not as I do. But now, that's not so with the followers of Christ. Praise God. We must live the life. Praise God, as well as tell about the life of Christ in order that the Holy Spirit. See, we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have our role. Our role is to not only to preach, but to be or to exhibit, to show forth the new life that the Lord has given us, praise God, not just to talk about it. Now, he said, but now in all things, show thyself to be a pattern of good works. That's what Paul told Titus, a good work. See, in the midst of this crooked culture that we live in today, where immorality and debauchery, praise God, riotous living and disrespectful authority, all these things are promoted in the world that we live in today. And every true believer is called upon to stand firmly. Stand firmly in the midst of this, on God's moral standards. See, where there's no morality, and that's a problem we are facing here in the world today, where no morality, there's no standards of morality. And our founding fathers made it very plain that the Constitution was really designed for people that understood the importance of morality and the building of a nation. But that seemed to be all out of the wonder right now. Praise God. But now we are to be followers of Christ here. Praise God. The Lord says, "Be holy, for I am holy." That's what's on my Bible here. My Bible says Holy Bible right here. That means holy. Being holy is a way of life. Praise God. And we're following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. As we live this holy life. But the enemy today, he wants the believers to march to the corrupt music, cadence, culture of this world. That's what he really wants, you know, instead of confronting the darkness with the light that the Lord has given us. So he did say, didn't he, that we are the light of the world. Praise God. I'm talking about believers now, true believers. We are the light of the world. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And without any apologies or no hesitation, I don't even hesitate myself. Praise God. I'm a follower of Christ. And we should be followers of Christ's example, especially in this Christless world that we live in today. Praise God. In 2 Timothy. Praise God. In 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 26. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy, praise God, 2 Timothy, and we're looking at 2, and we're looking at 19 through 26 now. And here Paul again tells the believers how we can, praise God, how we can live a life that glorifies the Lord. And that's what ought to be the important thing. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, your main objective should be to glorify the Lord today. Praise God, in the midst of this dark world, in the midst of this perverse and crooked a nation, as Paul puts it here. And although he is specifically speaking to the young men here in this 2 Timothy 2 here, these words are now applicable to all believers. I think we can be applied to all of us. Amen? Paul names seven areas in this life that every believer must, praise God, excel in. Now, 19, now 2 Timothy 2 and 19, that's where we are. Praise God. Look what he says in 19. Nevertheless, Paul says here, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, he said, for the Lord knows him that is his. Yes, he do. You know his sheep. And let everyone that what? Nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. We have to depart from sin. We can't live in sin and serve the Lord anymore. Look at verse 20. He said, but in a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Look at 21. He said, but if any man will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet or suitable for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now, in these verses here, praise God, the Apostle Paul tells believers that we must, praise God, we must live a holy, a clean, exemplified life. We must do that. Praise God. We must depart from our sinful lifestyles, and praise God. And because all they do, all these lifestyles, if you live it in sin, you're glorified. You are glorifying this old crooked and perverse nation. That's what you're doing. You're not glorifying the Lord. Praise God. But we must dedicate and consecrate our bodies as instruments to do the Lord's will. The Lord's will, not our own will. Praise God. Romans 12:1, we know that. Praise God. I don't really have to turn to that. We know that. I beseech you, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God. That's Romans 12:1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies, he said. And then y'all know 1 Corinthians 6, don't you? 19 and 20, we know that. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. I know you say your body, I can do what I want to my body. It's a woman's body. She could do what she want to. I know you can't either. That's a delusion. You've been hypnotized and mesmerized. Your body belongs to the Creator. He's the one that made you. Amen. He says in that verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, we are called upon to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's, which belong to God. Amen. Praise God. That's our calling now. Now, look at 2 Timothy again and 2:22. Look at verse 22. He's instructing us how to live in this crooked and perverse generation, how to follow the Lord in this crooked and perverse nation that we live in today. Verse 22 of that 2 Timothy 2. He says, flee also youthful lust, praise God, and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, he says, with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Out of a pure heart. See, our hearts must be pure, praise God. Pure enough for the Lord to live in us. And not only that, but like Martha and Mary, you know, when Jesus was in their territory, he felt comfortable at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' home. The question is, do the Lord feel comfortable in your heart? Praise God. We must have pure hearts. This means that we must constantly guard our hearts. The hearts, Jeremiah said, desperately wicked. Praise God. Time to watch it now. For all the unholy fleshly desires that's promoted in this crooked and perverse world, we have to be careful that our heart does not sponge them up. Amen. We got to separate ourselves from these things. 2 Timothy 2:23. He said, but foolish, and online questions, avoid those. They are only gender strife. It's going to bring a lot of strife. See, we got to have a discerning mind. As children of God, we need to have a discerning mind where we can discern when the enemy is trying to get us off on a rabbit trail. You know, we got to keep our mind on the main thing. Amen? See, sometimes we get caught up in useless discussions that not only sidetracked us from the message of salvation. That's what the enemy. What did you guys get their wives from? Cain and Abel. You know, they want to go through all these old rigmarigie here, trying to get our minds off the main thing, and that's salvation. You need to be saved. Get saved. Don't worry about all those hard questions and things. You know. So, in other words, Paul's saying here, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid those. Don't let them lead you off into a rabbit hole, praise God, where there's no end. I mean, you'll be lost forever. Look at that verse 24 there. Go on down a little further there. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, he says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patience. Apt to teach. Praise God. Must not strive. See, Father in Christ, again, we must not quarrel over the word of God, argue over the word of God, but be gentle, humble, and praise God, be meek. Praise God. We don't know everything. We don't know. Quarreling and arguing over God's word only awakens the flesh, the fleshly man. That's that old man that we trying to keep sleep, you know. We want to stay asleep. That was the old saying a long time ago, let sleeping dogs lie. And this old man, he has been unseated by the Spirit of God in our hearts. So leave him sleep. Let him go and lay down. Don't get in arguments, Paul says here. He's trying to teach us how to live in this crooked and perverse nation, this world, because they like to get us in arguments about the Word of God. But we ain't going there. Praise God. We don't need to go there. You can't convince them, no how. God has to convince them. Look at that verse 25 now. That verse 25, he said, in meekness, Paul left us to Timothy here now, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. See, we're to all walk humbly. That's all Paul says, walk humbly before our God. And that's it. Basically, this should be the watchword for all believers. Walk humbly, brothers. Don't be cocky. You don't know everything. After all, praise God. The Lord, he lifted us out of the prison house of sin. We ain't all the time been where we are right now. No. Therefore, as we approach souls today with this great gospel that we have here, remember now, we are only conduits of this power. We're not the power. We are not the power. The power flows through us. We are just conduit. So be humble. That's what Paul said. Don't be cocky like you know everything. None of us know everything. I don't know hardly anything at all. I'm just learning every day. Amen. But that 26th verse there, he says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And we've been there. We've been taken captive. We were captive before the Lord set us free. Praise God. Now we're free, and we're free indeed. We thank God for that. Amen. Praise God. But we're to walk humbly. That's all he's saying here. But now, if you go back to Philippians 2, where we started at earlier, 2:14-15, Paul, again, he reminds the true believers of the evil of this present age here. This is not your home here. Now, we're traveling through here. This is not your home. We're pilgrims, and we're traveling. We're sojourners here. Keep that in mind, children of God. Praise God. So he constantly reminds the believers of this evil age that we live in. He tells us, praise God, that we are dwelling in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. Praise God. Now, Moses in the Old Testament, he used this basically same language to describe the evil Israelites that perished in the wilderness as they came out from Egypt there. Deuteronomy 32, if you look at that, just a little bit of that, 32, not the whole verse, 32:5, Deuteronomy 32:5, Moses says there, they have corrupted themselves. Talking about those people that came out of Egypt there on that sojourn to the promised land. They have corrupted themselves, he said. Their spot is not the spot of his children. In other words, their behavior is not identifying with a child of God. What about yours? Amen. He said they are a perverse and a crooked generation. Oh, praise God. And like I say, he's referring to all those people, millions that came out of Egypt at the strong hand of God there. And the Bible calls them a mixed multitude. And that's what they were. In other words, you had believers and you had unbelievers. That's what we have in the church today. Praise God, we got believers and we got unbelievers. Praise God, Jesus called them wheat and tares. That's what he called them. And we know they're in the church today. They're anti-Christ, but they'll sit there and praise God. But now, he said, let the wheat and tares grow together. That's what Jesus said. Don't try to separate them. Let me have that. And many times we get a lot of opposition from church folks sitting right up in church. Huh? They don't mean it no good. They just want to be there to run interference, to keep us from doing the work of God. Now, but Paul would have every believers to know that we are different. We're different. We're commanded to shine forth. Praise God. In this wicked world, let your little light shine. To be harmless, he says, to be blameless. And see, many today, like I say, call themselves Christians. And I hope it's not you, but they are so negatively affected by this crooked and perverse nation that we live in today. That's all around us. Amen. Instead of following that straight in that narrow path, many people, praise God, that path that leads to Christ and leads to growth in Christ, they choose the path of sin and unrighteousness. And they are in the church. They're sitting up in the church, and I guess they'll always be there. Praise God. But we got to stand firm on the Word of God. We have them in every church, but we're not moving, praise God. If you can stand to hear the Word of God and stay there, well, praise God, just have your way, brother. Just stay right there. Amen. Look at Psalm 125:5. Look what David says there, 125:5. David says there, but as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways. Crooked ways. He used that same word. He says here, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Lord, but they follow the crooked way. Proverbs 21 and 8. The wise man says there, the way of a man is froward. I mean, crooked. That's what it means. It's crooked. But as for the pure, his works is right. His conduct, his lifestyle is pure, is right, is what he says. And then Paul, down in the book of Acts, as he deal with that crooked, this crooked nation that we live in today, he says in Acts 13, in verse number 9 there, 13 and 9, then Saul, it says, who also is called Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, that old sorcerer himself, set his eyes on him and said, oh, full of all subtlety, he said to him, you child of the devil. Paul called him the child of the devil. Praise God, that sorcerer, thy enemy of all righteousness. Will thou not cease to pervert? That is perverts. Pervert. That's what he said, a crooked and perverse generation. Will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Elymas, that old sorcerer. Praise God, he was a perverse person. And now in the world today, we know that we in the midst of all types of people today. Some mean us well, some don't mean us well. Praise God. But this word perverse means corrupt. Corrupt means darkness, means blindness. Praise God. And it saddens my heart. It really does. It saddens my heart that most people, or many people in the church today, are in blindness. It's sad, but I know it's true though. They're totally ignorant of the things of God. They cannot see beyond, praise God, the fleshly and the physical things of this world. And many of them are just flat right out living in sin. In the church, taking communion every Sunday. But daily they're living in sin. Yet they think somehow, I don't know how they come to the conclusion, but they think that one day they're going to be in heaven. How do they come to that conclusion? See, but this darkness they in, the author of this darkness, this blindness that they're suffering from, is none other than Satan himself. Amen. And we know Paul said in 2 Corinthians, and we, most of us know that, 4:3-4, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's what Paul said. If they're blind, if they're in darkness, if they're in corruption, it's because they've been blinded by none other than Satan himself. Praise God. The prophet Isaiah, he prophesied some 600 years before Christ came. He prophesied about the coming of Christ as a light to dispel the darkness of sin that was rampant then, is rampant now in the earth today. You know, it was bad back there, but now you know it's awful today. Amen. But Christ came to dispel the darkness with the light. You know, anytime you turn the light on, darkness starts running. Praise God. And we're supposed to be the light of the world. Praise God. That's what God called us to be. Amen. In that Isaiah 60, if you look at Isaiah 60, he talks about the coming of Christ as a light to dispel darkness. 61:2 there. Look what the prophet says. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Talk about the Lord. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, he says. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, he says. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Praise God. That was that prophecy, yes. And it's being seen today in those of us that are truly saved. Praise God. I've been called to be a light bearer. So are you. If you're a true Christian, amen. Well, like I said, we're mannequins in the windows of the world. Praise God. And again, to be followers of Christ now. Paul says in that Philippians 2:14, he says here, we must do all things, praise, without grumbling, without murmuring, without complaining. That's what he says. Now, that's believers. What we got to complain about? Hadn't God been good to you? Hadn't God brought you a mighty long ways? Well, I wouldn't dare insult the Lord by complaining after the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, no, I wouldn't dare do that. Praise God. I couldn't do the Lord like that. But if you're a true son of God and the light of Christ is shining through you into this dark world, praise God, you're glorifying the Lord. You're doing just what the Lord has called you to do. Let your light shine. See, God has saved us out of a world of darkness. and brought us into what? His marvelous light. Oh, praise God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my wretched soul and putting some light into my life, joy and peace in my life that passed all understanding. And you can't buy it. You can't buy it at the store. Now, you can go to the liquor store and get you some of that temporary happiness. But if you want the real thing, you're going to have to come to Christ today. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Look at that there. 1 Peter 2:9. And the Lord says, but we are a chosen generation. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Praise God. Then John 8:12 says, then Jesus spake unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, shall not, but shall have the light of life. We don't walk in darkness, not as the child of God. Praise God. Even though all around us is a wicked and perverse a nation, a evil people all around us. But praise God, the light in us is greater than the darkness out there. Matthew 5:16. And Jesus said these words, and we're familiar with, let your light so shine before men. Praise God, that they may see your light and glorify your Father, which is what? Which is in heaven. Praise God. Let your light shine. Don't put it on a bushel or don't hide it. Let it shine. Amen. Don't make it shine. Let it shine. That's the Bible there. 1 John 1:5-7. 1 John 1:5-7. Let's look at that. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message. He says, we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light. And in him is no what? In him is no darkness at all. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. And he said, if we say we have fellowship with him in walking dark, and we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, praise God, we have fellowship one with another. And then he says these magic words here, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, praise God. Look at Ephesians 5:11 there. He says that we have no fellowship, huh, with the unfruitful work of darkness, but reprove them. Reprove them. Don't join them. Don't applaud them. Don't encourage them. Reprove them. Daniel 12:3. Praise God. Daniel 12:3. And Daniel said there in, I think he says, and they that be wise, he says, praise God, shall shine as brightly as the firmaments. Praise God. And they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars above forever and forever. Praise God. But last but not least, to be followers of Christ, we must have a heart, praise God, that is compassionate. A compassionate heart. The desire to see people saved. See men saved, especially our loved ones. Praise God, we got a mission field right in our homes, right in our families. Praise God. If we just work that mission field alone, we'll do a great work. Praise God. But we're called to bring them to Christ, to love them, to lead them to the great shepherd himself. Praise God. And seeing that we were delivered from the devil's, praise God, traps that he set for us and translated into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we ought to be zealous to see others come to Christ. And after we have listened, now we're listening to Paul as he instructs Titus and Timothy and how to live this life for Christ in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation as a believer. As a believer, can you truthfully say, you that are listening to me right now, can you truthfully say, I'm following Christ? Can you really say that? I'm representing the Lord here on this earth in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, perverse world, generation that we live in today. Can you really say, I am following Christ? If not, ask the Lord to forgive you right now. That's what I ask you to do. Ask God to forgive you. If you call yourself a Christian, you know you're not. Ask God to forgive you right now and strengthen you. Give you wisdom. Praise God to follow him in a manner that will be pleasing in his sight. You that are saved, ask God to do it for you today. And you that are not saved. Now, if you're not saved and you listen to me right now, will you ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, please? And come into his house. His house. I did say his house. His house is in you. When God made us, when God made man, he made a particular compartment, a room inside of every man. And he said today, I stand at the door and I knock. I want you to open up. Let me in my house. That room that's been reserved for me before the foundation of the world, before you were made. When I made you with a compartment that was going to house me. And until you invite me into that compartment, you'll have no joy. You'll have no peace. You'll have no happiness that will never fade away. Praise God. The Lord wants to come and live in his house. Praise God. Inside of you. Praise God. That special place within every man prepared just for him, just for the Lord to live. Praise God. And to rule there. And if you'll do this today, invite the Lord in. Ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to come. Praise God. Open the door of your heart and let him in. He'll come today. And that emptiness that you're experiencing, that unhappiness that you're experiencing, praise God, that voidness and loneliness that you're experiencing right today, praise God, it'll all disappear. Praise God. It won't be no more. God will replace that with joy and peace forevermore if you just turn to the Lord. I'm a witness today. I am a witness of the power of God to change your life, to give you joy and peace that pass all understanding. But you got to trust him today. Praise God. That's all God asks for you to trust today. Praise God. But if you like this video, go over, hit that like button over there. And then, praise God, come back, hit the subscribe button when we come back again. Praise God. We'll be here. We'll bring you another word from the Lord. Pray, hopefully real, real soon, I'll bring you another word. But until that time, praise God. May God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer today. Amen.